every one of us, whether it's an anger issue or a lust issue or a gluttony issue or any other kind of issue, frankly, every one of us have issues, and God wants to restore our lives back to the way He would like for us to live. And so I hope this message, I'll be honest with you, this message, as I put it together and I've labored over this thing for the last couple of days, it's been, I've been talking and thinking in my mind about it, but it doesn't make much sense to me. Okay? So if somebody can get something from this, give God the glory. All right? Because, listen, the whole heart of the gospel message is the restoration of man to God. Now that I completely understand. That I completely get a grip on. I understand that. I relate to that. I know that God is, according to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, that God is doing a work in my life. He's doing a work in your life. And here's the good news. He's going to continue to work in and on your life until the day the Lord comes back and takes us out of this place. Amen. So the heart of the gospel message is the restoration of man to God. And in fact, the whole creation groans with labor pains, with birth pangs, waiting for that day. Listen, that day, in my opinion, cannot get here fast enough. Amen. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, I don't care what camp you're in, I'm going out in the first load. Amen. I mean, when the horn blows, I'm just color me gone. Because I'm out of here. I want you to stand with me this morning as we read Acts chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Starting in verse 18. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. This is what it says. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Father God, I pray, Lord, for Your anointing today. God, that the anointing would rest on me, Lord, that it would destroy every yoke of bondage off of my life. Lord, that You would in fact take a coal from the altar this morning and touch these lips of clay. God, that I would be able to rightly divide and boldly declare the Word of God this morning, and impart the Scripture my understanding of them to us so that we can take that from this place out into the world, Lord God, and impart what we know into the lives of other people, God, that they would be transformed by the power of Your written and spoken Word. And I thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There are mysteries here that the human mind cannot fully understand, so we have to accept them by faith. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've never seen Jesus Christ. Amen. But I believe with all of my heart and soul that He is absolutely real. Amen. Listen, I've never seen the wind before either, but I know that it's real because I can feel it. I've experienced the wind. God has a plan and has had a plan from all of eternity, yet His plan does not ever force men to act against their own will. On Wednesday night in Bible study, we talked about the two different wills of God, the permissive will and the perfect will of God. And the permissive will of God says, listen, you can do whatever you want. Amen. You can live however you want. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to pay tithes. You don't have to serve the Lord. You don't have to minister to anybody. You don't have to be a witness. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, because God's not a commander that is going to make you do anything you don't choose to do. Amen. However, God also has a perfect will, which is where I believe all of us as children of God ought to be trying our very best and striving toward is working and living our life in the perfect will of God. That means we are paying our tithe. We are giving in the offering. We are ministering to everybody God brings our way. We are praying for one another. We are growing in the Lord and all those kinds of things. That's what God wants, perfect will for our life, that we would serve Him with our whole life. Amen? That's the perfect will of God. That's been His plan for all of eternity. But He will never force you to do anything you do not want to do. So the prophets had foretold the suffering and the death of our Messiah, and the nation fulfilled these prophecies without even realizing what they were doing when they crucified the Lord. And see, when God cannot rule, He overrules and always accomplishes His divine purposes and His decrees. God, listen, if God's called you to a specific thing and you don't walk in the calling that God has placed on your life, then for your life, God's perfect plan and perfect will is not and so He has to raise somebody else up to do what you are supposed to do. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Which takes away that person from what God has originally called them to do. And so things start to get pretty cluttered up pretty quickly. So God has to change. I mean, it ain't like it's a surprise to Him. He's seen it from eternity past. Amen? So it's not like you're catching Him off guard. But the prophets foretold the suffering and the death of the Messiah, and the nation fulfilled that prophecy. And so when God can't rule, He overrules and accomplishes His divine purposes one way or another. So having announced the crime, presented the evidence, and explained the nature of their sin, Peter, in his sermon here, offers a pardon. It's a strange thing, isn't it, for the prosecuting attorney to automatically become the defending attorney? So Peter lays it all out, and then he gives them a way out. He becomes the defense attorney and the pardoning judge. Peter's burden was to encourage his people to trust Christ and experience His gracious salvation. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but it's not a very far look for me to look back in my past and see where it is that Christ has brought me from. And it doesn't take me very long to realize that I need to rejoice where I'm at. I mean, I was reminded of it in a very vivid way yesterday of what I used to be in my past. And I got news for you. I don't ever want to be that guy again. Ever. Ever. Not ever, never, never. I want to be, and I want to be all that God has for me. And I've said this so many times from the pulpit, but I want to be the pastor that you people think I am. I'm being honest because, you know, you've said very kind and gracious things to me and about me, and all that I'm grateful for. But man, I want to live up to your expectation. More than that, I want to live up to His expectation. I want to be the pastor and the shepherd and the leader that God would be pleased with, that He would nudge one of the guys in heaven. Hey, look at that guy. Look at them guys down. Look at all those guys. That's what I want to be. Peter's burden was to encourage his people. My wife says that one of my spiritual gifts is exhortation, and that I'm an encourager. And that, boy, I'll tell you that, if I can be something, that sounds pretty good to me. I want to encourage people to say, listen, maybe you feel like you can't, but I'm going to tell you you can. I remember when I wrestled in high school and our coach Owens, Rick, I mean, he'd whack you on the back of the lap there on your way out to the mat. Pow! He'd give you, get out there. And I mean, it wasn't anything weird. It was just an encouraging thing. I'm not going to be whacking you, all right? Not going to be doing that, but but I'm going to be cheering for you spiritually, all right? I'm going to be pushing you to be all that you can be for Christ. And the Jews had not expected a suffering Messiah. That's why they missed the Lord. They were looking for a king that was going to come and rule and reign and, this is the way it's going to be. And no, he just came and loved on people and served them and met needs and all those kinds of things. And because they didn't expect a suffering Messiah, they anticipated a great ruler and a conquering king. And when he arrived as a lowly carpenter, and then died a criminal's death, they missed it. They completely missed it. Listen, I don't know what your expectation this morning is of God, but I'm going to tell you something. He's all that you ever thought He was going to be and a whole lot more. He can meet every need. Listen, every sin that you have created, that you've done, that you've experienced, that you've walked in your life, can I tell you something? It did not catch Him off guard. He has saw it from before the foundation of the earth. And so when he arrived as a lowly carpenter and then died a criminal's death, they missed out. But Peter explained that it wasn't too late. Hey. It is not too late. You may have acted in ignorance, but now we can understand that Jesus was exactly what the Messiah had been prophesied to be. Amen. You go back and look in Isaiah chapter 53 and read all about it there, about what he was, you know, and a reed that was bruised and all those kinds of things. You go back and study that, and we don't have time for it this morning, but I want you to know that he is exactly what he was prophesied to be. So man was created to be close to God, and God is a jealous God. How many of you know that? God wants that relationship back. Amen? God wants that relationship back. And so I
got to find out where I'm at here somewhere. I got lost.
here we go. So although man can do nothing to earn restoration... Hello. Man can do nothing to earn restoration. He still must cooperate with God, and repentance is the first step. Listen, if you think repentance got you saved, repentance will keep you saved. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have to repent. Paul, if it was good enough for Paul, it's got to be good enough for me. Paul said, I repent daily. I have to crucify my flesh daily. I don't know about the rest of you, but I got way too much flesh that's still very alive. Amen? I mean, again, I go back to... I can only preach about me because I'm the only one that I won't get in trouble for talking about. But I was reminded yesterday of just how close that is. Man was created to be close to God, and he wants to have our relationship restored. That's why he sent Jesus. The law couldn't save you. The law could only point out your faults. The law only pointed to the need of a Savior. Jesus, when he came, didn't come to do away with the law. He came and fulfilled the law. So repentance is the first step. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It says this: Repent therefore and be converted. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That first phrase is very interesting. Repent therefore and be converted. What does it mean to repent? To repent means to turn literally 180 degrees and go the other direction. So if sin has got you going this way, to repent, you would turn completely around and go back the other way, that you might be converted. It means there's going to be a transformation take place in your life the moment you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's going to come something of transformation. It might not be big, but it might be big. Amen? And as you begin to walk with the Lord, transformation will take place in your life. Things will begin to transform in your life. When I was a non-believer, before I mean, I've always believed in Christ and I've always believed in the Lord, but listen, I could cuss the paint right off a wall. Amen. I mean, I was a logger and I could cuss real good. I was bilingual. Fluent in both. And when I got saved, I set my mind to, I'm not going to cuss like that anymore. But how many of you know that when something is so much a part of your daily life, they don't just go away? And I remember I was running a logging outfit for a company out of Medford, and I had the cutters cut a unit, and I was telling the skidding crew how it was all laid and how I wanted them to bring it, and apparently I didn't hear it, but apparently I was cussing a lot. And these guys were friends of mine, and I asked them, I said, you know, since I got saved, I don't cuss near as much as I used to, do I? And they said, well, couldn't tell by us. And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, you know. But things like that become very normal for us because it's been so much a part of our life for so long that we actually have to work at a few things. And this says that we're to be converted so that our sins will be blotted out. Listen, Christ's blood blots us out. But when we repent, God promises not only to cleanse us of our sin, but to bring spiritual refreshment. John, I love the song that we do and we play around with it, but Times of Refreshing. That's a powerful song. It's a fun song. It's a lot of fun to play and sing Times of Refreshing, but the spiritual implication behind that is there are times of spiritual refreshing. God, I just need to be refreshed in the Lord. And listen, back when I was growing up in the Lord yesterday, amen. Amen. But my pastor talked about being under the spout where the glory come out. Amen. And it always happened at the altar. You need to come to the altar and get under the spout where the glory comes out. That's always stuck in my mind. And that, listen, I want to be in that place. I want the glory of God to just come down and wash me out. And turning away from sin may at first seem a painful process because it's hard work to break old habits. In our Friday night men's meeting, we talked about our brain. And it's talked about the neural pathways. We talked about how thinking different thoughts, the whole learning process is a twofold process. We have to learn some things, but we have to unlearn some things is the other half of the process. And there are so many things that we have learned that do not glorify God. And so we've got to begin to unlearn some of that stuff. And the best way to do that is to change your mind. And there was a study done by some psychiatrist people and some affluent doctors. And they did a study about tapping your finger. And while someone sat and tapped their finger, a whole group of people actually did it. And they tapped their finger. And they did MRIs of their brain while they were tapping their finger, and they located the part of the brain that was being activated by the tapping of the finger. And they documented all of that stuff, and they sent everybody home for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was. They brought them all back, the whole group, they brought them all back. They set them all back down again, hooked up the MRI stuff, and had them start tapping their fingers again. And they went back in, and they redone and looked at their brains again. You know what they found out? They found out that that area of the brain where they had been tapping their finger for a prescribed amount of time every day had began to grow. It had received new cells and nerves, and all this stuff had been rewired. You can rewire your brain. Just because your brain's thinking this way today, don't mean tomorrow it's got to think that way. You can change the neural pathways. That's the little crevices and the grooves and the valleys in your mind that are up there. You can redirect them and change them by the way you think. That's why we have to get in God's Word and let God's Word refresh us and restore us and rebuild us, church. It's not just a good book. It's our life-changing book. God will give you and I a better way if we'll just ask Him. If we'll just allow Him to have His way in our life. But listen, it's going to come at a cost. Amen? I've been fasting since the 3rd of January. And it's came at a cost. I've not had not even a sip of coffee. Not one. None. Not a bit. I've had zero sugar. I've had no meat. I've had no dairy products. I've had none of it. I've had fruit and vegetables and beans. Woo! Let me tell you something. The Bible says, listen, when you're praying about some things, when you are battling some battles in your life, the Bible says sometimes they only come out through prayer and fasting. Fasting is not a popular topic in the church today. You know why? Because we cannot wait for next Sunday. Next Sunday's potluck. I'm just saying. We can't wait for that. My wife, and I hated it at first, but my wife would say to me, Shane, you live to eat. And you should eat to live. I don't want to hear that mess. I like buck steaks and potatoes and gravy and the. Oh, that's good preaching. Elk. I've even had water buffalo. Water buffalo, Hungary. Yeah, buddy. If you want something to change in your life, you've got to do some things that are maybe different than what you've done in the past. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. There are things. Listen, I need changed in my life. Oh, Hosea. In the Old Testament, Hosea promised this. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to Him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming rain in early spring. But let me tell you something about this verse. You have to press into Him. Church, we have to press in. Israel was interested in God only for the material benefits that He provided. They did not value the eternal benefit that came from worshiping Him. But before judging Israel, however, you and I have to consider our own attitude. It's very easy for us to be pointing a finger at everybody else in the country when you got three of them pointing right back at you. They're all loaded. Let me ask you this question. What do you hope to gain from your relationship with Christ? Too often, church, and I don't mean to sound like I'm hammering on anybody. I'm just trying to encourage you. But too often, it's like, you know what? Salvation is my main goal. Salvation shouldn't be our main goal. It's just part of the goal. It's just the beginning. It's just the starting process. And once we get saved, now, how can I serve You? How can I live my life in such a fashion as to bring glory and honor to You? God's called some of you in this place to minister. I'm just telling you right now. And it scares you to death. Some of you, I believe God's calling to be on this platform with John and other people that God has yet to bring into this place to lead worship. I'm just telling you. Some of you, God's wired you to teach and you're going to be teaching Sunday school class. Is this working still back there? I'm not. Hey. I don't know about the rest of you, but I read in my Bible that God has wired us and given every one of us, each and every one of us, a gift, a special gifting, something that He wants to you to use for His glory. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. What do we hope to gain from our relationship? Do we repent easily without seriously considering what changes need to take place in my life? I'll tell you what, I was confronted with this very thing yesterday. I mean, after I blew it, lost my temper, I was bummed out the rest of the day. Repentance did not come easy for me. I'm glad that His mercies are new every morning. God answers His people. He points out that their profession of loyalty, like mist and dew, evaporated easily and had no substance. How are we doing so far? Many people find it easy and comfortable to maintain the appearance of being committed without deep, sincere loyalty. There was a commitment and a loyalty that Jesus was in, and I understand that He's the Son of God and all that, but listen, He's called us to be just like Him. And He was committed enough to go to the cross. When everybody else was running from the authorities, Jesus stepped forward and identified Himself. Think about that. Everybody else was scared to death, but Jesus knew who He was and what His purpose was, and nothing was going to... Peter even rebuked Him. And Jesus rebuked Peter. Nothing stopped the Lord from fulfilling the salvation of your souls and mine. Aren't you glad for that today? Listen, our salvation is way much more than fire insurance, church. He purchased you. He redeemed you with His own blood and with His own life. If you profess loyalty to God, church, we need to back it up with our actions. Our life ought to speak something about the relationship that we have with the Lord. Amen? Even the world seems to understand that something is about to happen and refer to a new age that they feel is not far ahead in our time. Listen, you don't have to look around. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a prophet to look at the times and see things are getting crazy. Time is running out. We've got work to do, church. We have got a city that needs the salvation of the Lord. Amen? I can't do it myself. We all have to work together. There are people in your sphere that you'll reach that I cannot reach. You know why? Because they have relationship with you and they know you and they will listen to you where they probably won't me. And so every one of us have to be about the Father's business. Many believe we're in the last days and that restoration is soon to take place. I happen to believe that. When people repent, a door opens for God to pour out His Spirit on them. Amen? I'm grateful for that. Back up a little bit to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 through 21. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Say this with me, and it shall come to pass. Don't forget that. It shall come to pass. That means that what I'm about to read is going to happen. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Listen, this ain't a maybe. This is absolute. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That is one thing, church, that you and I can rejoice about. If you've called on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. The last days includes all the days between Christ's first and second comings, and is another way of saying from now on. Amen. From now on, boys. So that great and glorious day of the Lord means the whole Christian age, the age we're living in right now. We are living in what Bible theologians call and have named the dispensation of grace. The Old Testament was the dispensation of the Father. And the dispensation of the Son was in when Jesus' life was here. Now we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit and of grace. Amen. So Moses even yearned for the Lord to put His Spirit on everybody. And in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 29, it talks about it. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released throughout the entire world to men and women, slaves, Jews, and Gentiles. It was not a target release. It wasn't just for the chosen few. Now I know that. I know that because when you're still a sinner, it's the Holy Spirit that provokes you, that quickens you to receive salvation. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost in you that says, hey, you might want to think about getting saved. Amen? Because there's a hell that's burning hot and you don't want to go there. Everyone, listen to me, everyone can receive the Holy Spirit. It is not a select few. In Acts, it says that the church multiplied and that the Holy Spirit was for those that were there and for those that are afar off. We are the afar off ones, church. The Holy Spirit is for us. And it was released to the slaves, the men, the women, Jews, Gentiles, everybody. Now everybody can receive the Spirit. This is Peter's punchline. This salvation is available to anyone. Now, yeah, amen, glory to God. Even the people you don't think deserve salvation. Some of you are thinking about somebody right now. Well, certainly not them. Especially them. Especially them. Any person, according to verse 21, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But that's the catcher. You have to call on Him. Again, He's not going to the Bible says that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to salvation and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. However, that does not mean everybody's getting saved. There's got to be something that you do. God's special relationship with Israel will go on. It will continue. But it has been broadened now to include everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. God's plan for Israel had their climax in Christ. Access to God for all people now comes through Jesus Christ. It's through Him. It's the free gift of grace. It's the free gift of grace. When the blood of Christ cleanses people from their sins, God can send times of refreshing that come from His presence. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm looking forward to the day when we stand before the Lord. It's going to be a good day. For me, getting through the gate is top priority. If I can just get through the gate, Amen. I mean, if I get through that gate, I'm going to run like never before. Amen. I'm running straight to the throne. I want to thank Him personally for what He's done for me. Acts 3:21 again says, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of His holy prophets since the world began. The restoration of all things includes, church, a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? A new heaven and a new earth. But it must not be concluded again that all people will be restored, because God makes it clear that man's own choice determines his destiny. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've had people say, well, how can such a loving God send people to hell? And I always tell them, God hasn't sent nobody to hell. It's not God's plan to send anybody to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go to hell. Because He's made a way of escape through His Son. You don't have to go to hell. You do have to accept Jesus, or that's exactly by default where you're going. Here's the reality, church. We're already, if you're not saved, you're already headed for hell. You're already headed for hell if you're unsaved. And if you keep playing that card out and playing it, that whole scenario continues on and on and on. Hell is where you will end up. It's only when you make a decision to go to heaven, to change your course, to receive salvation, something I cannot provide for myself, that's when God intervenes and redirects your path. But it starts with a choice that you have made. And every one of us have been offered that choice. The whoever calls of Scripture teaches that a person must be willing to be saved, and that he must call on God for that to happen. Church, too many times we want choices. We want choices. I want to make heaven, but I want to do this too. Well, you got a choice to make. We must choose to believe faithfully that God will fulfill everything He has promised in His Word. Can I tell you something? After a day like I had yesterday, the thing that gives me hope is that His Word says His mercies are new every morning. That I have forgiveness. Listen, when you blow it, when you stumble and fall, listen, don't lay down, get back up. Be who God's called you to be. What Walter Payton was for years and years was the all-time rushing held the all-time rushing record for years. He held that record, and he rushed for something like 9 yards in his NFL career. But the reality is, his average was only like 2 or 3 yards per carry. So what that means, his average was 9 yards. But what that means in reality is that sometimes he rushed for 30 yards. Sometimes he got dropped behind the line of scrimmage. And he got pounded over and over, and he got knocked down. And sometimes, church, he'd just jump back up. They'd slap him on the butt. He'd get back in the huddle, get the next play, go run again, bam, get pounded, fall down. A little slower maybe getting up this time. One of them big linemen reached down and grabbed him and just pull him right to his feet and get back in the huddle, get the next play, run. Maybe he gets blindsided by some great big guy, and he's out. I mean, he's just laid out on the grass, and they have to bring the gator out there and load him up on that thing and haul him to the locker room and get taken care of and come back. The secret to his success is simple. You want to know what it is? He got back up every time. Every time he got back up. Sometimes he got up on his own. Sometimes somebody had to give him a hand. Sometimes he had to get hauled off. And listen, church, the church has to quit burying the Christians, the wounded. We gotta pour the balm of Gilead on them, the oil of joy. We've got to begin to pray people through the mess in their life. Instead of, yeah, you screwed up, you're out of here. That should not be the case. We should nurture them and care for them. And if they need a hand up, give them a hand up. If they need packed off to the spiritual locker room, take them to the locker room. Get them some attention. Get them some help. Get them back in the game. Get them back in the game. Let me close with this. I'm about done. Kinda. Isaiah chapter 55. You want to turn there? Isaiah 55. Here's the answers. Ready? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And the church said, Amen. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hey, hey. What is involved in seeking the Lord? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, for one thing, it means admitting that we're sinners and that we have offended a holy God. The Holy God. It means repenting. It means to change one's mind about sin and turn away from sin and to the Lord. I remember in school that I had thought about church. I had thought about going to church. That's as far as it got. But I thought in my process, I remember thinking that what church would be the best church for me to go to? You know, you don't want to go to the Pentecostal church because, man, they were really strict. I mean, you couldn't go to the movies. Amen. I mean, because what would happen if Jesus came back and you were in a movie? Hey. So you couldn't go. It's true. I'm telling the truth. You couldn't go. I knew I couldn't be a Pentecostal because I couldn't go to movies and stuff like that. And that was the thing to do when I was a kid. And you know, and you couldn't smoke, and you couldn't chew tobacco, and you couldn't drink. And you know, in Baptist churches, you couldn't dance, and those, because it promotes the lust of the flesh and those kinds of things. So I was going through down the line trying to figure out which one would be best for me. Which would be the, I could get away with the, is basically wondering, what church could I, hey, you're starting to catch on, aren't you? Yeah. What church can I go to and still live like I want to? I'm just telling you, that's what was going on in my mind, and consequently, I didn't end up going to church because there was something that I was doing in one or the other that I couldn't go to. Because I wanted to live it up, but there was something about me just still wanted to make heaven. Listen, it means repenting, and it means to change your mind about sin. It means to turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. We must turn to God in faith and believe His promise that in mercy He will abundantly pardon. I don't know about the rest of you, but your pastor needs abundant pardon. Amen. I need abundant pardon in my life. Let me tell you this. Repentance and faith go together. Repentance and faith go together. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So just as the rain and the snow are never wasted, but accomplish His purpose, so His Word never fails. Never. His Word will never let you down. His Word will always bring life and health to you. Always. It will always. The Word of God shall stand forever. We never know, church, how God will use even a casual word of witness to plant and to water the seed in somebody's heart. God might use you to speak into the heart of somebody that has just done you bad. Think about that just for a second. That person that has been, let's use Paul's terminology, a thorn in your flesh. Anybody ever had one of those? You don't have to raise your hand. Here they come again. Lord. Now, you know who I'm talking about? You got that person? Hey. I'll do the preaching. Have you ever had that person? Man. You minister to that person and you love on that person like Jesus loved on you. That person might be your biggest asset. That person just might become your biggest asset. Because if we can love that guy, hello. If we can love that guy or that person or that gal, amen? We never know, again, how God will use even a casual word of witness. God bless you. Hope you have a great day. God bless you. Big smile. I tell everybody I love them. I told a guy that one time and he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I'm sorry, but I tell everybody I love them. Because I do. I try to love everybody. But you never know how it'll witness and plant seeds and somebody else will water the seed. But the phrase, while he may be found, suggests that if we don't take his invitation seriously, the invitation may cease while we're delaying. That's why I love what Joshua said in chapter 24. Choose you today. Choose you this day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And then he says this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. We're not going to study it out. We're not going to take a poll of the neighbors. What would you think if a Christian lived in your neighborhood? We're just going to bust out and accept the Lord. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen? Listen, in the parable of the Great Supper, God closed the door on those who spurned His invitation. So listen, I'm just throwing out scenarios for you. You have to make up your own mind. Whether you're watching by way of the internet or whether you're seated here today, you have to make up your mind. In Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24, it talks about this parable. And God had given invitation to all these different people over and over. Hey, come to this great supper that I'm... And they were too busy. Got oxen I got to test out and got, you know, this and that and the other thing. I just got married and I got to spend time with my little woman and this and that. I mean, it talks about it in this parable and they missed it. And he shut the door. Same with the 10 virgins and the lamps, and they didn't prepare. They didn't prepare. Listen, church, we got to be prepared. He could come back today. He could come back, take us out of here today. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen? Today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Listen, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or whatever, but it just seems to me like people are just people that I would not expect. They're just dying. People just waking up dead. You Yes, you do. If you've got Jesus in your life, you do. You see, that's the day we have to be prepared for. Don't go to bed tonight without having resolved this issue. It's as simple as asking God into your life. If you confess with your mouth, the Bible says, and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Period. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I've done my best to declare your word the way I felt that you wanted it declared. Father God, I pray that you would just loose your Holy Spirit in this place. I pray, God, that you would loose your Spirit through the internet to every person that is watching today by way of the internet. That God, that you would reach them with your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to draw them in. Lord, that you would do something in their life that they would know and believe with all of their heart that you are in fact the Lord, that they would seek the Lord while he may be found, that they would call upon him while he was near. Lord, that they would let the wicked forsake their way. Lord, I pray, God, for salvation to come by droves. I pray, God, that your people, the people of Myrtle Creek, Oregon, Lord, that you have a call on their life and they're running from you. I pray, God, that you'd arrest them by your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that just like Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord, that if necessary, that you would knock them down and get their attention and speak to them. Lord, it's that serious, time is that short, and the message is that urgent. God, I pray for each one today in this place. I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, people would sense a need to get saved, to repent, to call upon the Lord. Lord, let it happen. Lord, let it be that it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your word. Father, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people are praying in this place. If there's anyone in this room this morning that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, today's your day. Be like Joshua. Choose today. As for me and my house, let it start with you. It's got to start somewhere. Just well be with you. Today, I receive Jesus Christ. If that's you and you've never accepted the Lord, but today's your day, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God would so fill you up with His presence, with His Spirit, that you'd never doubt again. Maybe you're watching this morning by way of the internet and you say, "Preacher, that's me." Well, I can't see your raised hand, but if you'll just leave a note there and if you'll just pray this prayer, you can be just as saved sitting at your house as you can in this church. Maybe you're here today and you've been just kind of, you got saved, but you really haven't done anything about it. Fact is, maybe you've went the other direction. Maybe you've kind of backslidden and walked away from the Lord. But today, something in the Word, something of the message, Maybe it was even something as a righteous or a holy fear in the realization that there's a great and a glorious day coming, that the Lord's going to come back. And maybe you feel this morning, even though you've been saved before, but today you're kind of wondering, God, would you take me? Have I wandered so far away from you that, God, I don't know today whether I'd even make heaven my home. You can leave this place today absolutely knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt. If that's you today and you say, "Preacher, I want to recommit my life. I'm going to rededicate my life. I am going to serve the Lord with my whole heart." If that's you today, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank God everybody in this place is saved, but that also tells me that we're not doing our job, church. We're not bringing the unsaved into this place. Got to go get some. Amen. We got to go get them. Let me ask this. If you're here today and you have a need for prayer in your life, you need to be anointed with oil and prayed for. I'm going to ask you if you want to just come. The rest of you, God bless you. God go with you. You can consider yourself dismissed. But I want to pray. If you need prayer, I want to pray with you this morning.